I want to turn to the book of Song of Solomon for a little bit this morning for our jumping off place. And you know, it was said of Solomon that he wrote over 1,000 songs in his lifetime. And we find that God has recorded one of them for us. It just always seemed like it would behoove us for the one song that God preserved and recorded for us that we would be mindful to take a look at it from time to time, that we'd want to read it and we'd want to meditate on it and try to glean what we could from it. This Song of Solomon is a sort of a collection of poetry that Solomon wrote, obviously under the direction and the influence, the very strong influence of the Holy Spirit of God. But it's a collection of poetry, and it's a beautiful, beautiful love story between the young Shulamite girl, and I believe it's a sort of a story of her courtship and her love and falling in love, meeting and falling in love, and her courtship and becoming married to her shepherd husband, her handsome shepherd husband. And as you read through the Song of Solomon and you read about this beautiful love story, it has some of the greatest language that you'll find in the Bible, some of the most descriptive language, and of how beautiful this courtship and this marriage is between these two young people. And always keep in mind as you're reading through there of what great metaphors that this story is, really, as it points to the relationship between the heavenly husband, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and his bride, the church. There's so many parallels in this book between that, the marriage of Christ and his church, and between Solomon and the Shulamite girl. So keep that in mind as you read through the Song of Solomon. And I just want to notice two verses this morning in chapter 1. And as we read here, I want to pick up in verse 7. And the Shulamite, the young Shulamite girl says, tell me, she's speaking and writing here to her shepherd husband, that tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And I notice right off that she makes a point of mentioning that the one she's speaking to here is the one that she loves, and it, she says, makes a point of it, it says, thou whom my soul loveth. And you know, if you think about the bride of Christ, if you think about the church being the bride of Christ, could it not be said today that Jesus Christ, our heavenly husband and the bridegroom of the church, is not one whom our souls love very dearly? I know in my hearts this morning that your souls love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our heavenly husband. And she speaks to Solomon this way and says that my soul loveth thee. And she's asking a great question. She says, tell me, there's something that I would like to know. She says, I would like to know where it is that you feed your flock and where do you make them to lie down and to rest at noon. Where is it as an effective shepherd? Where is this place that you lead your flocks so tenderly and you bring them and you care about your flocks? She obviously understands the life of a shepherd and understands the love and the care and the devotion that a shepherd has for their flocks that they own. And she knows that the shepherd is going to always, a good shepherd will always lead the flocks to places of good pasture. And then will help supply food for them, make sure they're nourished and that they have good nourishment. but then also that they have a place to lie down and rest. Those are things that a good shepherd does. And she has the wisdom about her to say, where is this place that you do this? Where is it that you bring the flock to feed them and then have a place that's so quiet and it's so safe that you can cause them to lie down during the noon hour that they may rest? Where's this place at? You know, if you and I is the bride of Christ, if we were to think about it, and you know, there are many places in the scriptures where Jesus Christ is referred to as a shepherd, as a good shepherd, and as a great shepherd, and a chief shepherd. And if you and I, recognizing the fact that he is our shepherd husband, it seems that you and I would also want to know the answer to the same question. Where is the place that our husband brings us to feed and causes us to rest? We'd want to know the same answers to the same question as the little Shulamite girl did. Well, I can tell you this morning, beloved, that the place that God has made to bring his sheep and the sheep of his pasture to bring them to feed is right here in the church. These are the rich, lush pastures that God has created and that he's made and that he has planted and he has taken care of and raised up to be able to feed his people. You know, we think of the church as being such a beautiful organization that God has created for you and I. We've talked before how it is that we need the Lord's church in our life and how many functions that the church serves and provides for you and I. It's a safe haven here in this world. It's an oasis. It's a beautiful oasis of shady palm trees and fresh flowing water. And it's a place where we can come out of this world, which so many times nowadays feels like a desert land to me, and we can come into a place that has shade, it has food, and it has water, and it's quiet, and we can rest here. That's one of the purposes, one of the great purposes, and God has created the church, and he's created the Sabbath day that we have spoken of, and he has set that day aside to be a day of rest. Sheep need rest. God's little children need rest. I'll tell you, we could all talk for days on end, couldn't we, about how busy we are during the weeks sometimes. You know, sometimes it gets very hectic in our lives, and some weeks are busier than others. But, you know, sometimes we feel it. We get to the end of the week, and we're just run down. We're ragged, and we're out of energy. We're tired. Our minds are dull. We seem to be just overcome by the burdens of this world. Well, you know what we need? We need pasture. We need a good pasture with fresh, green, lush grass to eat, because that's what sheep eat, and we need a place to rest. And we need some water. We need a lot of fresh water to drink, and we need a place to rest. This is the place God has made. You're in it this morning. You're in the pasture this morning. Here we are together for a little while. We're in the pasture that God made for us. I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that God's little children all over this world are assembled in various pastures all over this world where God has created, that we can come in and have rest this morning. But where is this place? Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? I don't want to go to any other pastures. I'm not interested in following any other shepherds, because we have one shepherd. And she's in love with one shepherd. She's not in love with other shepherds. She's in love with Solomon, this shepherd. And where is that place that you take care of your sheep? Well, he answers her in verse 7, and he says this. In verse 8. He answers and says, if thou know not, O fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. His answer is very interesting. He refers to the one that he loves, O fairest among women. And later in another place, he would refer to her as my dove, my undefiled, fairest among women. There are none other. You're the only one for me. And he would answer and he would say, if thou knowest not, if you don't know where this place is, he says, well, then follow the footsteps of the flock. How interesting is that? He says, look on the ground, look in the dust, you find where the flock has been in times past, and you follow that. How about that? He says, you can find the place that I bring my sheep if you'll just look and see where the flock has been and where they have gone. He says, you just fall in right behind them, follow them, and you'll find me. Now, that brings a lot of thoughts to my mind today. Don't you imagine this morning that there are some of God's little children wandering around, sort of lost in this world, wondering, I wonder where it is where I could really find some peace in my life. I just wonder, is there even a quiet place anymore? You know, this world is noisy. Do you know how noisy this world really is? I call it noise pollution. It's always noise in the background taking place. And I mean, and my home's as bad as everyone else's. Sometimes you walk in and guess what? The TV's on and something might be playing on it. There's always, we like humans today feel like we must have noise in the background, if you've ever noticed. I go to the gas station and I begin to pump gas into my truck. What happens? Noise comes on. There's a commercial blaring in my face out of the gas pump now. Noise. I go to Walmart a couple weeks ago. I get out of the car and I start walking toward the store and I hear music blaring. I look up and there's speakers all over the front of Walmart now. Noise coming out. I sit on my porch sometimes and I listen, and about 4 out of 5 cars that come by, I hear the bass booming out of the speakers and I hear music blaring very loudly. It's noise, noise, noise. Everywhere we go, everywhere we turn, it's noise. Well, you know, sheep don't really like a lot of noise. You know, those of you that have some sheep at home, if you want to disturb your sheep, just go ease up to them with a car or something and lay into them with the horn, okay? Or take one of those little cans of compressed air that has a horn on it. You'll scare the sheep out of their wits. They don't like noise. They like quietness. You and I, there's something about you and I that quietness does us good as well. But he tells her, he says, well, if you don't know where this place is, just follow the footsteps of the flock. Do you know how many people there are today that I think are searching for peace in this world and they don't know which way to go? They don't know where to go. There are like new churches popping up every week all over the place and trying to have new themes about them in hopes of attracting folks. Well, you know what the shepherd says and what he's telling us. He says, you don't need anything new. If you want to rest, if you want to find the place where I'm feeding the flock and where I'm causing them to rest and to lie down, he says, you don't need to do anything new. He says, just follow the old pathways. Get in behind them and follow their footsteps. You don't have to go out and blaze a new trail. I guess that's the word I was trying to think of. There's a lot of people today that are trying to blaze a new trail to find them some religion that fits what they have conceived in their mind as religion ought to be. Well, God says, you don't have to do all that. God says, I've already prepared it. I already have all this. It's already been made. It's already been established and it's fixed for you. He says, all you need to do is follow the footsteps. You know what you and I, you know what will benefit you and I the very most in our lives as we endeavor to worship God in spirit and in truth, and as we endeavor to raise our families in a God-fearing and a God-honoring way, and as we endeavor to teach our children about the importance of coming to the Lord's house on a regular basis every Sunday and to come and to put God first and foremost in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, you know what will benefit us? By just following the footsteps of the flock that's gone before us. We don't have to blaze a new trail. We don't have to create new ways to try to do this. It's already been established. You know when it was established? About 2,000 years ago, when Jesus established the church here in this world. And those who have stayed with it, those who have just been satisfied to feed in the Lord's pastures that he has cultivated and he's placed here, and to drink the living water of the Holy Spirit that he provides through the preaching of the gospel, those that have been content to do that, they are the most contented and the most happy sheep in the whole world. Those that have just simply followed after the footsteps of the flock that's gone before us. We don't have to blaze a new trail. How thankful are you this morning that God has said you don't have to go and create your own trail? You know, I used to do a lot of deer hunting when I was young, and some leases and some woods that we hunted in, we had very established roads and trails that had been there for several generations. But sometimes somebody would get a crazy idea, well, we need to make a new trail that goes from this ridge down through this thicket and this bottom and up on this ridge. Go try blazing a new trail. Take your chainsaws and your bush knives and all of that and your hatchets and axes and saws, and it's nothing but work. God says, just follow the footsteps of the flock. If you don't know where it's at, just follow where the flock's been. Look down in the dust. I can remember when I was young watching a lot of old Westerns, and oftentimes there is one character in a Western and he is searching for someone else. Maybe it's the bad guy. And sometimes he might have an Indian tracker guide with him, and you'll see him, they're out there and he's looking in the dust and he's saying, oh, they went this way. Look, here's the horse tracks. They went this way. Follow the footsteps of the flock. That's what he tells them. Isn't that some good thoughts? And he says, when you do that, follow the footsteps of the flock, he says, you'll find me, you'll find the flock, you'll find the pastures. He says, and there, he says, you can feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Well, that makes sense. Where would, if you had a little flock and you had some, you had a flock of your own, and you didn't want to go search and look for some other shepherds in some other fields, but you wanted to go to the good shepherd and the chief shepherd, and you wanted to help to feed your flock, you want to bring your flock there, he says, that's what you do. Follow his footsteps. Then you come and you can feed your little ones right beside the shepherd's tents. That's a good place to be. The Lord Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He is our good shepherd. You know why? Because he loves the sheep. He loves the sheep of his pasture, that's you and I and all of his children that God gave him. He loves his sheep. That's why he's such a good shepherd. David said in Psalms 23, the father of Solomon, David, he wrote this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I think about that statement David says, not only is the Lord my shepherd, but he says, I shall not want. He's not saying, I shall not covet. He's not saying there are things that I have coveted and thought that I needed in my life. He says, I shall not want. That means I shall not do without any basic necessities that I stand in need of. Food, clothing, shelter, someone to love me, someone to care about me. Those basic necessities in life, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. Do you know you and I can claim that statement this morning for ourselves as well? The Lord is your shepherd, and because of that, you shall not want. Now, you might not have as much money as you would like to have in this world. You might not have as large of a home or a brand new vehicle or a brand new boat and things such as that, but you'll not want for the things that are important. God's little children will be supplied. All of their needs, their true needs, will be supplied by God, because that's what a good shepherd does. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I just want you to remember that you can apply that to yourselves. You can say the same thing this morning. All of us collectively can say it, and individually. Because God is our shepherd, we'll not want for those things. I dare say none of us this morning have ever ran out of food in our life and just couldn't find something to eat, or clothing, or shelter. All the important things God's going to take care of. He says, he's my shepherd. David says, he's my shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. Brother Randy and I were talking this morning about the drought that is beginning to really set in out west, and how that people that have cattle and have flocks and whatnot, they are beginning to suffer because of the drought. They don't have green pastures. They're going to have to be trucking in hay to feed their cattle. I remember this happening a couple years ago. I remember seeing on the interstate 18-wheelers, flatbed 18-wheelers, loaded down with big round bales of hay, as many as they could strap on there, all headed to Texas and out west because of the drought. Well, all this is starting to happen again in some of those areas. But people who have the Lord as their shepherd, David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I just have pictures in my mind of what a lush, beautiful green pasture. Sometimes it could be a nice, fresh fall crop of ryegrass. It could be just so green. Or it could be in the spring when the spring rains have come, and maybe the hay has been, bahia grass or whatever, has been fertilized and it's healthy. Green pastures, that's where God makes us to feed and to lie down. He says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. We talked about noise just a moment ago. Sheep do not like a lot of noise. They don't like a lot of commotion. They like to drink water from streams that are still, or from a pond, a very slow flowing stream. They don't like drinking water from water that would be very turbulent. Have you ever seen a picture of people that go rafting in the Colorado River? Have you seen how violent some of that water is? That's not quiet water. There's even some whitewater rafting here in North Carolina. I've been on a river one time to do that. That's not quiet water. Sheep like quiet water. They like the still water. God is my, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he leads me beside these still waters. And he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do you know, beloved, one of the great benefits that you and I get each and every Sunday here at the Lord's house? We come, first and foremost, we come for this reason, to glorify God. That's the number one reason on our list why we're here, because God deserves it. Your God and your Savior deserves to be glorified. He deserves to be praised and worshiped. That's why we come, first and foremost. But because he is so good to us, because he is such a great, loving shepherd, one of the other things, the benefits that we get from it, is he restores our soul. I think sometimes this happens without us even realizing it. But we come to this place and God helps restore our soul every week. What happens to our soul? Why does our soul need restoring sometimes? Because this world will tear it down. Things that happen in this world, because this is a sin-filled world that we live in. This world's not perfect. It's full of sin. Things oftentimes, there's a lot of injustice that takes place in this world. And sometimes you and I are the recipients of it in various ways. And it breaks our soul down from time to time. It troubles our soul. It vexes our soul, like Lot, who chose to go live in Sodom, that terrible, sinful city. He chose the well-watered plains of Sodom because he thought his cattle could prosper there. But the Bible would say about his choices that it vexed his righteous soul from day to day because of that choice he made. Our souls are vexed in this world. But when we come to the Lord's house, God helps heal our soul. He helps restore our soul to a sense of peace. I just have this picture of a flock of sheep that's feeding quietly in a beautiful green pasture on a mountainside. Maybe some of you have seen a picture like this. Maybe you've actually driven by somewhere, looked up, and on a hillside, there are a big flock of sheep feeding peacefully. That's the picture I get when I think about the Lord's people in the Lord's church when we're meeting here in peace. Doesn't it seem like we're enjoying a great season of peace right now at the moment here at Andrew Church? Don't you feel that in your heart? It feels like we're feeding contently, that God has taken care of us. And it seems like that way, that it is. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Lord's rod and his staff, they comfort us. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "The Lord God shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Is that not a tender picture in your heart today? The Lord our God is our shepherd. And he says he will lead his people like a flock. And the little lambs, we talked about a little lamb last weekend, didn't we? Last Sunday. We talked about the little Passover lamb. Every family had to, once a year, had to take him into the household. You had to select him out 4 days ahead of the Passover, and you had to keep that little lamb up. But Isaiah, God said over there in Isaiah, he said he's going to feed his flock. He's going to take care of his flock like a shepherd. He said he would take those little lambs, he would pick them up in his arms. He would carry them and gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom. He would hold them close to him. That's the picture of God holding you and I in his bosom, because of his love that he has for you and I. You know, when God chose to sacrifice his only begotten son for a group of wretched sinners such as you and I, you know what that's a picture of? God said that he loved us so much he would pick us up, hold us in his arms, and bring us close to his bosom. When a man would give his son for somebody like us, that we might have his blood to save our life with, that his blood would save our life. And that's what it did. Those are good shepherds. Those are all images of good shepherds. A good shepherd takes care of their flock, makes sure they have adequate pasture, leads them however far he has to go, he leads them to good pasture. But let's contrast that with, just for a moment, with a bad shepherd. This is how God describes a bad shepherd in Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, and neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. You know what one of the greatest indications of a poor shepherd is? The sheep are scattered. When a poor shepherd is finished working, the sheep are scattered. They're not closer together. They're not all there. They're not in the right pastures. They're not being cared for. Their diseases and their hurts and their wounds are not being looked for. If one drifts away from the flock and gets lost somehow, the shepherd's not going out to look for it and keep searching for it. And one by one, the whole flock becomes more scattered. And when that happens, then they become susceptible to all the wild beasts of the field. Those are the shepherds that God is warning about here. There were some bad shepherds in Israel. And he says, woe to them. And in fact, if you read verses 7 to 10, God is going to pronounce judgment on those shepherds. They're not going to get away with it. There's no shepherd who has forsaken his duty to take care of the sheep of God and the sheep of his pasture. No one that has forsaken his duty and his calling to do that is going to escape the judgment of God. He's going to judge them. He says, because you did all those things and you caused my flock to become a prey to all the beasts of the fields, he says, I'm against you. And I'm going to require my flock at their hand, and I'm going to cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. There were some bad shepherds, but God says, I'm going to take care of those. I'll deal with them. I'll take my flocks away from them. And they won't have a flock. They were feeding themselves off of God's flock. They were making themselves fat and lazy and rich. But God says, I'll stop that. I'll take them away. He says, I'll take my flocks back. And here's what God says he'll do. Look at verse 11, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. God says this is what he's going to do. Remember, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's what God says himself. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search out my sheep and seek them out. That's what a good shepherd does. He searches out and he seeks out his sheep. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I'm not going to send a proxy. I'm not going to delegate that duty to somebody else. God says, I will seek them out. Notice how many times God says, I, in this passageway here, next few verses. God says, I'll do these things. I'll be the shepherd. I will seek them out. I'll seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Who's going to do this? I will. God says, I'll do these things. Verse 14, he says, I will feed them in a good pasture. Upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there they shall lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture and shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Do you see how personal this is with God? Do you see how the care of the sheep this morning, you see how intimately personal it is with God? That he's caring for his sheep. He's providing pasture for them. He says, I'm going to provide water for them. He says, when one gets lost, I'll go search and seek him out and bring him back. He says, I will do all these things. You and I are the sheep of God's pasture, beloved. You know why God loves you and why he cares about us? You know why he's so good to us? We're the sheep of his pasture. And he is our shepherd. He is our caregiver and our provider. God says over and over, says, I will do this. I will feed them. I will bring them. I will seek them. I'll search them out. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. That's what a good shepherd does. That's how God cares for you and I. The footsteps of the flock. Where does God do all these things? Where is it that God does all these things? Follow the footsteps of the flock that went before you. Do you see this morning God has not put a burden on you and I to have to blaze a new trail in any way? He's already established the pastures. Here's one right here at Anger Church. Here's the pasture that's been here since 1912. I'm quite sure that before that there were many other little pastures sprinkled around here. I'm sure they went by other names. There's still other pastures sprinkled around here even today, where God's people go and God takes care of them. Amen. Where the sheep are comforted. The sheep can get out of the noise of the world. Doesn't it seem like a pretty quiet place right now this morning? Do you hear how quiet it is? Friends, Elijah came and he stood before the opening of the cave, and it said a great wind came and it rent the rocks of the mountain. I'm sure that was a lot of noise. A great fire came. A great earthquake came and all that, but God was not in any of that. He was in none of the noise. But all of a sudden, a still, small voice spoke to him. Do you know it could be just as quiet as it is this moment right now, and God can speak to your heart in a still, small voice. The God that created the universe, all the planets, all the solar systems, all the billions and trillions of stars, the God that did all that can speak to your heart in a still small voice. And he often does. Isn't that something? Sheep like quietness. They like to be still. They like to be fed. We like for our tummies to be full, and we like to have fresh water to drink, and we like to lay down and take a nap at noontime and rest a little while. Well, here we are. God has provided you rest because he's the good shepherd. What did Jesus Christ say? Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Beloved, you're the sheep. You're the ones that Jesus gave his life for. You're the very ones. The entire elect family of God, he gave his life for you. I am the good shepherd. Would you have any doubt this morning that he's the good shepherd? Is there any doubt in your heart Jesus is the good shepherd? There's bad shepherds in the world. God told us about those, and he told us, I'll deal with them. He says, I'll judge them. They're not getting off scot-free. God will take care of those. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. He says, a person that's a hireling, somebody that you pay money for to watch the sheep, he says, they're no good. He says, they're not a good shepherd. Why? There he says, they're a hireling. They're not the true shepherd. The sheep don't belong to them. And they seeth the wolf coming, and they leaveth the sheep, and they flee, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. You can't buy a good shepherd. Do you know that? You cannot purchase a good shepherd. A church cannot purchase a good shepherd. You know where they come from? God delivers them. God brings you a good shepherd. You can't purchase one. He'd just be a hireling. God has to place the responsibility upon a man's heart, the burden upon a man's heart, to care for a flock of sheep, to be an under-shepherd for God. Jesus said the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and he careth not for the sheep. I'm afraid there's been a few of God's little flocks here, there, and yonder through the years that ended up with a hireling. And they just simply, the bottom line is, they simply did not care for the sheep. And it, given enough time, it'll manifest itself. But Jesus, always remember what Jesus said. When Jesus speaks, open your ears, incline your ears toward Jesus and listen. He says, but I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I know the sheep and the sheep know me. They know my voice and they will not listen to the voice of a stranger. They only know my voice. Sometimes it's a still small voice, but it's the voice of our shepherd. I'm thankful to know that. He says also, he says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know why Jesus laid himself down on the cross and he spread his arms and he allowed those Roman soldiers to crucify him? Because he loves the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He did not lay down his life for goats or any other creatures in this world. He laid down his life for the sheep, and you're the sheep. You're the sheep of his pasture. He loves the sheep. That's why he's the good shepherd. They belong to him. You see, the whole thing about a shepherd caring for his sheep, it's all predicated on the fact that the sheep belong to him. A hireling, you can get a hireling, and he'll work, and he'll do the job somewhat, but the sheep don't really belong to him. So when trouble and danger comes, he just flees and he doesn't care about the sheep. Not so with the good shepherd. That's why when you and I have trouble and danger in our life, whenever we, that's why David could say, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A good shepherd has a rod and a staff, and he comforts his sheep. And Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I am so thankful for that. And he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He's talking about the Gentiles here. He says, I have these sheep. They're mine. They belong to me. They're in a different fold, a different little flock. He says, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold, all the children of God, and one shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. Paul said he's the great shepherd in Hebrews 13 and 1 Peter 5. Peter referred to him as being the chief shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Aren't you glad this morning to know we have a good shepherd? I hope none of you ever go off track and somehow forget where it is that God feeds his sheep. I hope I'd never forget where it's at. If I did, I might be starting, my mind might be starting to play tricks on me. I might begin have the beginnings of a disease and if I can't remember that. I hope you can always remember where it is that God feeds his sheep. It's right here. You're in the pasture this morning. God bless you for being in the pasture and having a desire to come to the pasture where God feeds his people and where the sheep become content. I just have to praise God. I'm thankful this morning that God has blessed us in the manner that he has here at Andrew Church. I'm thankful for the season of peace we seem to be enjoying right now, but I don't take it for granted. And I hope you never do that either. I hope you'll continue to pray each and every week. Never cease praying that God would bless this little assembly and this little pasture that he has provided for us. We have a good God, do we not? We have a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and a chief shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ. And I hope you'll always look to him, and whenever he speaks to you with a still small voice, listen to his voice. Listen to the voice of Jesus, your Savior. May God bless and keep you this morning.